Hey y'all, hey, this is a solo podcast today, myself. Taryn's not here. Just sitting around and talking to people, and I hear people a lot in life sort of, you know, doing the usual, not enjoying their job and not wanting to be where they be and wish they had something else and scared to make the change. So I thought it'd be a nice chance to maybe tell my journey, my story, and maybe that can help people to be a bit less scared and take that next step and make the change, or do what you've got to do to get yourself out of trouble being financially. Sometimes you've got to be right out of your comfort zone, as the saying goes. So let me tell you how I ended up in Kuwait in the Middle East, and maybe you'll realize that the changes you've got to make aren't really that big a deal compared to what some people have had to do to get themselves out of financial problems, let's say. So for about 5 years ago, I was living in Australia. I had a business called Allegiance Combat and Fitness Centre, which was a passion of mine, and started very, very young. Well, I started teaching martial arts very young, at 16. And then I went to the army for 4 years. And then in the army, I was a police dog handler, and got out of the army, had my own dog training business. And then ended up in Sydney working for the Quarantine Detector Dogs. Did that for a couple of years. Then back in my town called Port Macquarie, New South Wales. And living there and training dogs. And then missed my passion, which was teaching combat. So I opened my business up. Started a small dojo and got bigger and bigger over about four different places. And ended up with a very big place, one of the best in Australia. Had UFC fighters come there, the fight nights that I ran, promotions that I ran in my town. They were very impressive. I remember James Tahuna coming there. He was a UFC fighter at the time, and he was very impressed with what I had as a business. And it was a great place, and I love it, and I missed it. But anyway, as time went on, with a lot of gyms opening up in my town, the 24/7 become popular, which made very cheap gyms for people to train at. And this led to it being difficult for me and to survive with costs that I had to charge my members. And I made a few business mistakes that definitely affected my membership, and brought some changes in that. I got away from my roots, basically, what made me successful. I tried to keep up with the trends, bringing CrossFit in and so forth. And we weren't really a CrossFit center as such. And anyway, this led to really probably the demise of the business in a lot of ways, losing a lot of members and making it very hard to survive. So got to a point where I really should be shutting down the business, but my problem was my passion sort of outweighed common sense, if that makes sense. You know, like, I loved it so much, I didn't see that I was making bad business decisions and I should be shutting my doors and getting out of trouble, because I just loved what I did so much and I wanted to keep it open. I tried and tried and tried. Anyway, my partner at the time suggested that I close, and I didn't want to, and she was right and I was wrong. I should have done the right thing and closed and got over my ego, I suppose, of whatever you want to call it, failing. It wasn't really failing, but it was just a journey that came to the end, but at the time you see it as failing, and I didn't want to. But then, lo and behold, I received an email offering me a job in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia, which I was surprised. I thought it was a scam and I didn't know what it was. Anyway, it was offering a job as a personal trainer at a gym, CrossFit 966, I think it is, from memory, a few years ago now. I can't remember the number, but it was in Jeddah, in Al Alda. And I contacted them, and 10 minutes later I get a response back, and next thing I'm doing an interview on the phone, and next thing they want me to go. So my partner at the time said, go, do it. Take the chance. And let me tell you, as a person who comes from a very, very small town, originally from New Zealand, Roxburgh, a very, very even smaller town, only a few thousand people, really having nothing to do with religion or anything like that, the thought of moving to, you know, Saudi Arabia, who we all know is like the Mecca of, you know, religion and so forth. And to a lot of people, that may not be intimidating, and you may not see why I would find that scary. But to me, it was because of what we see and we get perceived as what the religion is, and TV and so forth. And obviously a lot of it's incorrect. I've learnt, you know, otherwise, you know, living here, I know the truth about a lot of it now, and the people are, you know, very caring and very welcoming, and some of the nicest people I've ever met. So I took the job, and I ended up probably a month later in Jeddah. And I remember the feeling of landing, actually before we got into Jeddah, the video on the plane starts telling people when they're going to do their Umrah and the Hajj and how they prepare and shave their head and put their, you know, their gown on, traditional wear on. And even that intimidated me because I was just naive and, you know, hadn't seen a lot of that, and it just really played with my head. And I remember landing, and you go from seeing green in Australia to looking out and seeing desert. And the scenery change was just extremely confronting to me. I'll never forget it. I actually felt sick in my stomach landing, not because of the people, but just because of the change and the dramatic change. I'm just gone from living on a small coastal town, beaches everywhere, and then landing in the desert, you know, around a language I didn't speak, different mannerisms of people, you know, a lot more harsh in a lot of ways, especially when you come through the airport. I think people that have been there would agree it's not the, you know, overly welcoming and make you feel comfortable sort of place. As an expat landing there, it can be quite intimidating. You go from people that line up in most countries, know how to make a line and wait their turn, to a country where people are just, I suppose you can call it a line, but it's just push your way through and get in. And I found that very confronting. It just didn't deal with my personality well. But anyway, I ended up there. I remember coming through the airport and getting picked up, and then just getting dropped off to a hotel that night, and just going, what am I doing? What has happened? But I reminded myself why I'm there. I had to be there financially. I knew the changes can make in my life. If I stayed in Australia, I'd be having to shut my business, and my partner at the time that supported me financially, helped me out a lot. If we went bankrupt, it would have been her going bankrupt, and that would just be the wrong decision and selfish, and I just couldn't do it. I had no other way out except I had to dig myself out of this hole. So I decided to make this change and take on this challenge of moving to Saudi Arabia and changing my life and digging myself out of this hole. So I was in Saudi I was a head trainer at two gyms there, my original one, and then I got offered a job at another gym that was opened up with Faisal Al-Yusuf, and I was his head trainer there at Titans Fitness, which is still currently operating. And I started getting out of this hole, and every day I would wake up, and if I'm honest, I just didn't want to be there. I got a lot of anxiety. I suffered quite bad depression at the time. I was away from my partner. You know, we were having relationship problems, and she was still in Australia. I was in Saudi Arabia by myself. It was, it was very confronting, and I got a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of dark days. But again, every time I wanted to leave, every time I didn't want to go to work or whatever it was, I reminded myself why I was there and that I had to suck this up and get over it. Because if I wanted to change my life and get out of this problem I got myself in by making bad decisions, I had to just stick with it. So I ended up doing sort of 2 years in Saudi Arabia, off and on, like I left a couple of times and then come back. But eventually I got to the stage, my partner came over, she was there for 6 months but couldn't live there, and we were having problems, but she couldn't live there, and I don't blame her. It was very hard for a person who's from another country to move to Saudi Arabia, particularly as a lady. It's very confronting, a lot of changes, having to, you know, just to cover up, going from a life of wearing what you want and never covering up to suddenly having to cover your body. It's a big thing to deal with, and culturally there's a lot of changes, and it's the women definitely get, you know, it's difficult there. It can be hard for ladies there, and I get that, and I can't blame her. But I stayed there and started getting myself out of this hole, working hard, saving hard, become very well known in Jeddah as a trainer, and did well for myself, but eventually it just became too much. I just couldn't really deal with the anxiety of being there. I had problems with it. So I resigned. But when I resigned, I thought, I still have more to get do. Where can I go from here? So I jumped on the internet and looked around places nearby in the Middle East still, because you can do well financially here, and we all know that, you know, the tax breaks and things like that. But as an expat trainer, look, if you're a good trainer in your own country, you're considered probably a great trainer in the Middle East. It's getting different. There's a lot more now, but, you know, even a few years ago, there was less. So you could easily get work and get well known. But anyway, I looked at Kuwait, and Kuwait is what I would call, at the time, sort of the, you know, the Vegas compared to Jeddah, just in the way of, there's no, the segregation isn't there. So in Saudi Arabia, even at a cafe, there's two cash registers, and a lot of them are families and are singles. When you sit in a restaurant, if you're a single man, you have to sit in another area. I actually remember being in cafes there where they didn't have a family area, and I was there by myself. They let me in, but then a lady come in, so they had to go and get a petition and put this petition around me to cover me. And I really remember distinctly this lady looking at me and without saying it, looking at me and feeling bad for me. We laughed about it. The owner laughed and apologized to me, but that's the rules. Single men can't be with ladies or families in the same area. A lot's changing now, but I'm pretty sure that segregation's still there. But and that was confronting, and just living like that. And what stood out to me was just the black in that country, just the abayas, just become very confronting for me, and just, you know, played games with my head. And when I was living in Saudi, but in Kuwait that doesn't happen. The segregation's not there. There's still rules, obviously. It's different than Australia, but it's a lot easier. So I can deal with a lot more, but still had many, many tough times for about probably a good 10 months in Kuwait when I first got here. My relationship ended upon leaving Saudi Arabia. Myself and my partner went separate ways, and I came here. So I had to deal with that, and then another country, and getting to know people again. So again, I had more, again, what I would call dark days, pretty low, pretty hard here by myself. As much as Kuwait's easier, it's still not Australia. It's still not home. You know, so it's still hard. And other expats, anyone listening to this, you understand what I mean. You know, you can be here for 10 years and make friends and be happy, but it's still not home, and it can be tough. But again, what do? I remind myself of the trouble I got to get myself out of. I can't let other people down. I'm paying other debts off, and I'm paying, you know, people back money that have got me out of this problem. So I have to stick with it. So it's been 5 years now. Yeah, it's about 5 years now in the Middle East. Originally, I was coming for a year, and then my business would stay open and I'd get it out of trouble and go back and be to my business. That was my goal. So backtracking a little bit, yeah, my goal was to actually come to the Middle East, keep my business open in Australia, send money home, get it out of trouble, and then go back to it. But again, backtracking with my partner at the time, she suggested while I'm over here, we shut the business, because it just wasn't getting any better. That was a very tough decision. Something that's very, very close to my heart, and still sort of, I still miss a lot. I just love what I do. I was proud of what I built. But again, she was right, I was wrong. The smart thing to do was to shut the business. So I had to just take that advice and do that. So that got closed down while I was living in Saudi Arabia. And then now I'm in Kuwait, and I got myself out of trouble. After about 4.5 years, I repaid my last, you know, financial payment to a person who helped me out, and I now have no debt as such, and I have savings, and I've turned my life around. I'm very grateful to the people who gave me a chance in Saudi, the first opportunity I got there, and now in Kuwait, currently working for Inspire Pure Fitness, and it's a great facility, and I'm very grateful to you know, people who employed me there. Actually, it was a gentleman named Shem at the time, and Mike, who gave me the job. And I'm still here, and I've turned my life around. It was very tough, you know. Now's not tough, but the initial decision to leave and do that and make that change was not easy. It was very, very hard. Leaving friends, leaving my children. I have two kids. Part of the reason I took that opportunity at the time is I didn't really have a relationship with my children at the time for whatever reason. That's not what this podcast is about, but I didn't have one. So I figured that would be the opportunity to go. I may as well use this time where we aren't close and I can turn my life around. And then obviously my goal was to get close to them again, and then I would be in a position I would be able to, you know, help them and make up for our missed time, and which now is amazing. My relationship with my children is amazing. That's great again. But I'll talk about that another time. But today's really about, like I said, making the change. Anyone out there listening, that if you're in a job you don't want to be in and you think, I can't leave and I'm stuck in this job, you're not. Okay, I'm 47 years old. I can make the change. When I'm over 40, you can make the change. If you're 30 or 20, do it. Don't be scared. Take that step. You'll be okay. You know, if I can move from, you know, I'm sure other people have got hard stories and things they've had to do, but I don't think many people have had to, you know, close their business, pack up, leave their relationship, their children, move from a small town to Saudi Arabia. Oh, not many people can say that. And I think if I can do something like that, whoever's listening out there who needs to make that change, if you don't even need to leave your town, but you've only got to leave a job, you can make that change. You can. It'll be okay. You just got to take that step and have some confidence. And don't be in a job. Yours may not be financial based. Yours may just be a job you don't want to be in. Guess what? You don't have to be. You can get out of that job. You can make that change and reskill yourself and upskill yourself and move somewhere or do what you got to do to be happy. Guys, we get one chance at this, okay? We all know it. This life is not a dress rehearsal. You get one opportunity. So make the change. And don't be scared, because now that I've done this, I've turned it around. Now I have opportunities to, you know, I've cleared my debt and I have savings. I could go home now if I want to, but I'm in a relationship here and very, very happy. Things have turned around. Will I stay here forever? Definitely not. But I'm now here by choice, not necessity. And that's what I've turned around. Before, it wasn't a choice. I had to do it. Okay. It was necessity. Otherwise I was, bankrupt or couldn't pay debt or whatever the problem was going to be. And the stress, I will never forget the stress I had from financial problems like that. To not have those stresses financially is life-changing. I think I've added years back on my life, to be honest. So I'm very proud of myself that I did that. And that's why I just want to just get this out today, have a bit of a chat and see who's listening, and maybe you can make that change as well. Yours may not even be through financial, but you just may want to make a change and have some adventure, you know, and try something new. There's opportunities out there in other countries. Look it up, look around, try different things. You might be very, very surprised at where you end up and the adventures you can have. But don't be too scared to take that step, because it'll be okay. And look, if I came here and it didn't work, all I would have to do is go home. You know, I could do it if I needed to. And I would have been okay back in Australia. You know, I could have survived and I would have got through it. But I would have been stressful, and I had an opportunity. A weird opportunity, a random opportunity. Getting an email from Saudi Arabia is very bizarre, but the timing was right and I'm very grateful for it. So that's where I am now. Cleared my debt, got savings, and here by choice, not necessity. That is life-changing to me. So hopefully anyone out there that needs to do the same, this will maybe help you, inspire you, and realize that you can make that change as well. Thanks for listening, guys. Next time, I'll be back with the other half, my son, Taryn, and we'll be chatting about who knows what. These podcasts are all about just talking about anything we feel that we want to, from taste testing hamburgers, talking about fighting, talking about like I just did then, to whatever we want to talk about. And you never know who we can connect with and help out or make laugh or whatever it is. But cheers, guys. Thanks for listening. And share this around. Appreciate it. Let other people listen to it. Tell them about a podcast. Help us grow and improve what we do and bring you more chats about random things. Thanks, guys. See ya.